Yes, I am. So last week, when we were serving up our spiritual meal, do you ever have, as a family, you say, what do we want to have today for a meal? Have you ever had just dessert?
Yeah.
Not if your mom and dad was there, but or Josie. But sometimes I've heard of people just say, you know, we're just going to make a pie and ice cream and have that for supper tonight. You know what? Really, that's what we did last Sunday morning, is we just had dessert. The love of God and looking in nature, even just in this week, if you started working in the ground, a garden, my Bradford pear trees that will never give me something to eat, but they have been blossoming just loads of white flowers just for me to enjoy. And I look at those things and I say, God loves me. God loves us all. But the love of God is kind of like cake and ice cream. It's good, but we need to have something else that balances it out. We're not going to be fully healthy if we only lived off of dessert. Sometime, as much as we would rather have ice cream than broccoli, sometime we have to come to a point where we say, okay, I enjoyed that, but I want to know what else do I need to be able to be spiritually healthy. So this week, the Lord's been talking to me about something. It's almost like a far stretch from the cake and ice cream. It is all vegetables. I want to talk about the fear of God. It's something that we want to, I love the part of the love of God. He's just doing everything just to make me happy. But there's also a part of God that I need to have a reverence for.
Yes.
I always want to have that in my mind. As I see the love that's shown to me, that I also see that he has some requirements, some things that he wants from me. A reverence for who God is. And I'd like to start with a verse over in Psalms 33 and 6 through 9. And this is Genesis. This is about Genesis 1, when God spoke and things happened. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. You know, that's all it took, was just he said, let there be. This sunshine that we're seeing this morning was because way back there he said, let the sun and the moon, let these things appear, and they appeared. You know, if you want to try to figure out something to worry about, I saw in the news a little while back that the sun, you know, it's burning up energy. It's going to burn out one day. Now, it was like a billion and a half years or something that it, before it happens. But it, if you want something to worry about, you can think, well, this thing is going to die out one day. But, you know, or we can look up here and say, by the word of God, the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and a host of them by the breath of his mouth. All he did was just spoke, and he brought it into existence. He gathered the heap, the waters of the sea together as a heap. You know what a job that was when it was all water, and he caused dry land to appear, and he set boundaries for that sea, set it to where here's the dry land for us to occupy. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. By the word of God, Genesis 1, and everything that we get to enjoy today was something that came about just with a word that he spoke. We sing a song, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder, and we ought to spend some time just seeing what God has made. When I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars and I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. What's my reaction? You know, many people see all that and it brings no thought of God to them. But this one is, then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art. So the message last week of God's love to us ought to also cause me, what does it say? Let the earth fear the Lord. Let the inhabitants of the world stand in awe. He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. There's another verse over in Psalms 8 and 3, like for us to look at. Because we get opportunities to see God. When I, 8 and 3, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. When you look out at night, a few nights ago when they had the eclipse, and people would see that. When I see all that, what does it do to me? This one says, it causes this to happen. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? Those things, fear is more than just being scared of him. It is about having a deep respect, a deep reverence for who he is. This commentary on Let the Earth Stand in Awe, it said, for this reason, he who has thus bound can unloose. If he spoke it into existence with a word, he can also speak it out with a word. And Genesis 1, he just spoke it into existence. God said, let there be, and it was. And one day, he will speak again and take it out of existence. You know, it seems not possible that that could happen. One reason is, you know what, I've heard it all my life. I've heard preachers saying that the end is coming, and it hasn't yet. But I want us to look over the verse in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and the 10th verse, is that we just keep this in our mind when we see all this that God has made, realizing that one day it will all be closed out. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. You know, this also needs to be a picture. This is kind of the broccoli, the reverence and godly fear that I need to have, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein will be burned up. You know, we see the scriptures and we see it happening today where people are calling evil good and good evil. They're choosing this is the right way for us to go, no matter if God's word says it different. I remember seeing a bumper sticker and it had two words on it. It said, no fear. You know, just the sight of that bumper sticker caused me to have a little fear. Because, you know, there's things that we ought to be afraid of just in this life. There are people that can take our life and we want to be careful. But what I really need to have a fear about is a fear of God on my heart. No matter what the world around me says, no matter if the percentage goes up to 99% that says there is no God, in my mind, in my heart, I always need to be living a careful life, having a reverence to God. And here is a verse I want us to look at in Ecclesiastes, the 8th chapter, and in the 11th verse. So we look at this. You know, there can be evil all around us, and it's not being checked by God. But it says here, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Not much fear of God on their hearts there. But it also goes on down. This is something for us to keep in mind. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. So two verses here. Though sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. You know, if God, every time there was a sin, that person went out into eternity, you know, it would bring about a change in how people look at choices that they make. But this one, it's not happening today. But what we need to do is always realize, you know what, there is judgment coming for sins that are committed, if it's in my life or if it's in the life of others, and I want to walk with a carefulness. There is a verse back over here, because when we see that this is supposed to come to an end, the next verse in it says, what manner of persons ought we to be? If I know that these things are going to happen, how should I be living my life to be ready for it? In 2 Peter, in the verse, it says, stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. So there's times that we need to look at the Word of God, fear of God, a reverence for God, and to just some of the things that are told to us, I need to just take those in. It's kind of the vegetables that we need to be able to eat, having a reverence and a respect for God. It says in that first verse, I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Because in the fourth verse, they have said, you know, this was written 2,000 years ago. They have said, where's the sign of his coming? Since our fathers fell asleep, all things have continued as they were from the beginning of creation. But there is another appointment that I want us to think about that has happened to all these generations, these people, whoever that would have been that said way back there, where's the sign of his coming? I haven't seen it. There was another appointment that came to them, and it's found in Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. So no matter that the end of all things has not come, and I'm getting old enough now to realize my end's coming, it will not matter to me if the end has not come yet. All generations of these 2,000 years since this time have gone out into eternity, not seeing the end of all things. But you know, really, it was the end of all things for them. And with that, I need to have a deep reverence and respect for God. Because I see all the things he does to tell me he loves me. But then he also has some things that he wants me to show him I love him back by obeying his commandments. But I want to look at some other places. Where we were looking in Ecclesiastes, there's another verse I want to look at. In Ecclesiastes 11:9, listen to this verse. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let your heart cheer you in the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. You know, that just looks like the world around us. You just go do whatever you want to do. Whatever makes you happy, just go do it. I was reading a little article this past week of a man that told about how his son, when he let him know that he had done the transgender, how it's upset him so much for a little bit. And then he said, you know what? I have come to realize the most important thing for my son is to be able to be happy. And so I'm going to change my thinking about all that. Well, what we have to realize is this verse hasn't ended yet when it says, go do whatever you want to do. Here's the reverence part that I need to have. But know thou that for all these things, God is going to bring you into judgment. So the world around us that is saying evil is good and good is evil, light is darkness and darkness is light, and walking in the ways of their heart, know thou, for all these things, God will bring us all into judgment. The other verse is in Galatians 6, where it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, he's going to reap. The law of sowing and reaping, you know, it doesn't hardly seem like the love, the ice cream and cake. This is the other part of it. Whatsoever a man sows, you remember it was saying he sends rain on the just and the unjust. He lets his sun shine on the just and the unjust. You know what? He requires things of the just and the unjust. And with all these things, he will bring us into judgment. But I want to look at a little picture for a little bit. In the 12th chapter, it gives us a little summary of a span of life in one chapter. Starts out in the first verse, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. So I look at that, the very best time to start living for the Lord is when a person is young and just walks with God all the way through their life, obeying the things that he tells them to do, and then making heaven their home at the end. Because now it starts out the aging process. And it talks about a place, one of them in here says, there's going to come a time when they're afraid of things that are high. You know, I built a house 30 years ago or so, and I could go up on that roof at any time and do painting, trim and all. And this past year, I needed to do it again. And I got up and I took about 5 steps, and immediately something said, boy, you better get back down from here. You are going to hurt yourself. You know, this is that aging process. Things are starting to change for us. And you know what? It's going to keep on changing until there's something else that happens. Then the dust, 7th verse, is going to return back to the earth as it was. Guaranteed, nobody will escape this. And the spirit is going to return to God who gave it. And then it comes on down and it sums the whole thing up. This is the whole picture. 13th verse. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. For God's going to bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You know, we have the verse that says, work out your own salvation. So everybody can say, I see it a little bit different. I'm going to work mine out this way. What does it add to the rest of that verse? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. To realize what I just saw in this one, God's going to bring all of my works into judgment. With every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And I'm going to have to realize, you know what, there's a way that I need to see God, that I need to approach God. And I'm seeing it over in Isaiah 66 and in the first verse. Thus saith the Lord, heaven's my throne, earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you would build me, and where is the place of my rest? All those things hath mine hand made, and all things have been, saith the Lord. So, you know, with all those things that God has done, he's still got something that he's looking for in me. To this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at his word. You know, today in 2026, I still need to tremble at the word of God, because I'm going to stand before the Lord one day and meet him with it. Yes. Another thing I need to realize is, for me to make heaven my home, it's not going to be just in the good things that I can do. There's a song that says, not the labor of my hands could fulfill your law's demands. I'm not going to be able to do enough good works to make heaven my home. It said, could my zeal no respite know, could my tears forever flow, these for sin could not atone. You're the one that can save, and you're the one alone. So I need to realize, you know what? The scripture even lets us know several times, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift of God, but at the same time, works are going to come as a result of what the blood of Christ has done in my life. The fear of God is taught. Look over in Psalms 34 and 11. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I'd like to think of that just as a parent today, teaching their child the fear of the Lord. You know, mom and dad would pull out the Bible storybook when we were young and start reading some of the stories. And you know what? Some of those stories were real. Those stories were real happenings. Some of those stories were intended to cause the fear of God to be put in my life. To realize this is the price that this person paid for what they did. The value of obedience, as they teach us the fear of God and the punishment for disobedience. Thought about Adam and Eve. What level of the fear of God did they have on their heart? You know, I believe it started out that it was very high, a reverence for God when he came down. But I wonder about it. What does it take for us to lose this reverence for God? What did he say to them? In the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. You know, a reverence and godly fear would just hold that before me all the time. But when Satan comes along and says, you won't surely die. You know, he's telling that to so many people today after God has said, this is the way it's going to be. This is the punishment that comes for it. And then it moves down. Maybe a couple weeks ago we were talking about Satan is lying again. And you know what? He comes along generation after generation, and he'll also want to come to us. And how he will want to come to us is human reasoning. It's so easy for me to look at this, and how could God not care about which way I do on this? What about Cain and Abel? Cain's sacrifice was not accepted. Abel's was. We don't see behind the picture of that, but I know who God is enough to know they both had an understanding of what would be accepted. And something was done with Cain's that it wasn't accepted. And God even spent a little time with him to let him know, if you do well, you'll be accepted. But if you don't do well, sin lies at your door. Cain lost the fear of God on his heart. So much so that when God came down and said, Cain, where's your brother Abel? Did he just fall down in fear and say, Lord, I am so sorry for what I did? No. He said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Wow. Can you imagine talking to God that way? He had lost the fear of God. We sing a song sometimes. It says, oh soul, be afraid. You know, I think that's the trembling kind of afraid. Oh soul, be afraid. You're going to reckon with God. All of us will. And that ought to cause us to have a carefulness of my life. Just knowing, you know what, the Lord's displeased with this thing right here, and I will turn my back on it. O soul, be afraid. In his presence thou art. At all times I'm in his presence. And I want to always remember that. King David, he had a title that was given to him that he was a man after God's own heart. He had a desire to please the Lord. I don't know the sequence of everything that happened, but he wrote Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, he's leading me beside still waters. That's a wonderful chapter right there. But you know what? We get choices yes. to be made, and those choices need to be stimulated by the fear of God. Yes. I've got this choice I can make. I can go down this road, but not if I keep the fear of God on my heart. There is something I want us to look at in James. Because there is a cycle that goes on. James 1 and 13. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. That happened with Adam and Eve as she looked at the fruit, saw that it was a fruit to be desired. It had a good look to it. Whenever he's drawn away of his lust and enticed, when lust hath conceived, there's a step-by-step process that happens here. There's a place where an enticement can be there, and we resist it because I have the fear of God on my heart. Lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And so we look at David. You know, it seemed like David, for a little while, his greatest effort that he put into was to keep his sin covered. Even to the point of, I thought about this, when the prophet Nathan walked up to David. You know, when David recognized the man of God coming to talk to him, It should have caused the fear of God to be on his heart. This man's coming to tell me something. But you know, when Nathan gave him the story about the little lamb and the man that had so many sheep spared of his own, and he went and took the one away from the man, what did it do to David? He still did not relate to it. He lost the fear of God on his heart. And then when Nathan said, because, I mean, he was upset, this man's going to die. He's going to restore all that and he's going to die. And then Nathan said, David, you're the man. I'm glad that we get to read some more of David's life. I'm glad that when wrong choices are made, we serve a merciful God. This is another part of who God is the mercy that he shows to him. You remember in that prayer that David prayed, have mercy on me, O Lord. I'm glad that things can be turned around because of that. There is another example, I believe, of the fear of God in this same kind of situation. Joseph, when he was confronted with Potiphar's wife, I believe he had the fear of God on his heart. What did he say to that situation? How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? I can't do it. You know, we're going to make right choices a lot of times, all the time, if my level of the fear of God is great in my heart. Fear God, not just scared of who he is, but a deep reverence for what he's requiring of me in my life. There's a verse over in Luke, the 12th chapter, of a danger for us. Want to be careful of it because it can happen in my own life. Luke 12 and 1. Right at the end of that verse, he's talking to his disciples. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is when I come to the point that I'm more concerned about what you think about me than I am about what God knows about me. And an example of that that came to me this morning was in Acts, the 5th chapter. Ananias and Sapphira, if you read those chapters, the 4th chapter, there was a time where when Jesus was taken back up to heaven, there was a time where the angel came to him and said, just like you see him going away, you'll see him come back again. And they expected that it would be real soon, to the point that they went home and started selling their houses, putting the money together. We'll just live together until he comes back again. Ananias and Sapphira saw all that. They saw these people coming into church and giving everything they have. And you know what? We would like to look good too. So they went out and they sold their possessions, but their heart probably wasn't totally in it. And I can't say that they would be wrong, because it was probably a mistake to go sell everything expecting him to come back again. Those folks' heart was right, but they missed it as far as when he would come again. Ananias and Sapphira just wasn't real sure about it all, so they decided, you know what? We're going to keep back this portion of it, but we want them to think we gave everything. That's where the mistake was made. And you remember when Peter told him, said, Ananias, while it was your own, you could have done whatever you wanted to with it. It would have been fine for him to come in and say, you know what, Peter, I sold my house for $10,000. I'd like to give $5,000 of it to the church here. Everything would have been good. But he said, Ananias, what's fearful here is that you didn't lie to man. Well, he never got to say anything to man. Peter knew from God telling him. He had not talked to Peter and told him how much he sold it for. He said, you didn't lie to men. You lied to God. And Ananias died there. Remember that other verse that says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. You know, there was something that happened that day when Ananias died. And for some reason, his wife Sapphira was not there and did not hear about it. But they had covenanted together. Okay, if they ask you how much it is, it's $5,000. If they ask me, it's $5,000. Ananias never got to say how much it was before he died. But then when Sapphira comes in later, Peter asks her the question, did you sell your land for so much? You know what? If we could only see decisions on a timeline, there was a clock of her life that was ticking, and it all depended on her level of the fear of God on her heart. Her choice of what she says in the next 5 seconds is going to determine something. She had no clue what was happening. And when she spoke the words, yes, we sold it for that much, she died also. You know what that does for me is to realize, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily today, if I'm not careful, I cannot have so much of the fear of God on my heart either. But you know what happened to the church? It said after that, no man durst join himself to the church. Why was it? There was a great fear of God on their hearts of the people that watched that. There's a verse that says, the things that were written aforetime, they were written for our learning. Those Bible stories that mom and dad used to tell me, those things that happened in the Bible, both good and bad, they were intended to be able to help me. We have a little saying that says, experience is the best teacher. That's not totally so. I think the very best teacher is if I can learn off of somebody else's experience, that I don't recreate the wheel in this thing again, have to go through the same things that other generations have gone through, when I can learn from theirs. So what is our verse for today? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Today, in choices that we make, and as we watch the world make choices, let the fear of God be on my heart enough to say, Lord, have mercy on them. Because what does it say? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep His commandments. Because this is the whole duty of man. Because God's going to bring all of this into judgment one day. And it may not be in my lifetime that it all closes out. You know, right now for me, I don't think too much about the end of all things. Because the end of all things for me is fast approaching. Yes. I want to be ready. Yes. So to be ready, I need to have, and I need to ask God to help me have, the fear of God on my heart. A reverence for God. Yes, He created all things, and He made them so I can enjoy them of nature. But you know what? He also wants me to obey His commandments. And what does it say? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I want to show Him the reverence that I have by following His commandments. There's one other verse I want us to think about. It's in Hebrews 4 and 16. Let us therefore come, as we talk about reverence for God, we look at this verse. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. When I have the fear of God on my heart, what does boldly look like? Do I get to walk up to God and say, you owe me something? No. You remember when Job wanted to have an audience with God? He had some questions he wanted to talk to God about. Wish I could meet up with him. I'd ask him some things. You remember over in about the 38th chapter of Job, God gave him that audience. Job, stand up like a man. I'm going to ask you some things now. Job, where were you? Remember, we're talking about creation, God's love to us. Job, where were you when I created this? You know, Job's level of himself wanting to talk to God comes down real fast. What does it say? To this man will I look, to the one that trembles at my words. And that's what happened with this one. Is Job, you know what? It went about 2 chapters. And Job said, I've had enough. I don't want to say anything. I don't have any more questions. And God said, oh, no. We still got some more. Another 2 chapters of what all God had done without Job. What that is intended to do is in 2026, when I have human reasoning want to work in my mind, telling me this is the right thing for me to do, I want to have the fear of God on my heart, that I would have a deep reverence and a respect for who He is. There's a verse of a song that I'd like for us to look at. It's song number 408. So I look at this in the first and second, third verses. Now I come, my Lord and Savior. How am I going to approach Him? Humbly kneeling at Thy feet, sharing in Thy richest favor, full salvation, pure and sweet. Lord, I will be Thine forever. Unto Thee my all I give. Keep my soul that I may never shame Thy cause and sinful live. Leave me not alone, my Father. Do preserve my soul each day. Let not Satan ever harm me. Keep me to the end, I pray. I look at that prayer to the Lord. Lord, I want You to not let Satan ever harm me. And He says, I'll do that. But how I'm going to do that is, you're going to have a reverence and a godly fear that whenever I tell you this is dangerous, whenever I tell Eve, don't eat of it, it's here. You know, He could have said to them, there's a tree out there somewhere that should you happen to eat it, you're going to die. But I'm not going to tell you which one it is. That's not God. God will, if He requires something of us, He will give us a very clear knowledge. Here's what I'm requiring of you. To her, He said, this is the tree right here. And I don't believe it was just old gnarly fruit that I wouldn't have wanted anyhow. She looked at it and said saw that it was a tree to be desired. But He told her clearly, this is the one, don't take of it. What all she could have had in her life. I think of the sadness. Maybe it was in Sunday school, but we talked about Adam. How long did he live? Almost 1,000 years. I don't know how much of that was outside the garden, away from what God had intended him to be able to have. You know, he didn't die a physical death the day that they ate of the fruit, but he was moved out of the garden. I need God's presence in my life. I want to walk with Him, and I want to have a fear and a trembling at His word. I desire your prayers.